Shalom. I am Jeff Mills, and you are listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by HaEmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teachings, resources, and information about HaEmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. Blessings, and may our Abba continue to guide you and lead you into all truth. Shabbat Shalom. We all get very comfortable and very complacent in our daily lives. There is a standard of living that we have gotten used to, and there are things that we take for granted. Even the simplest of things in our lives are a tremendous blessing. Do you know how many people in this world cannot walk over to a sink, turn on a faucet, and have running water, who have no indoor plumbing at all, no indoor heating, no soft, comfortable, fuzzy carpeting in their homes? And what about vehicles? You know, what kind of luxury is that? That we can walk out to our driveway and get in our vehicle and start it and drive wherever we need to go. How many people in this world walk or ride bicycles if they are blessed enough to have one of those? And what about access to medical facilities and physicians? How many people in this world suffer from lack of medical care? What about stores? What about being able to go and stock up on groceries and have everything there in one place? You know, we expect things, and we rely on things, and we trust that things will be there. We grow used to the things that a community and local services provide for us. You know, we flip on a switch for light. We turn on hot water for a shower or cleaning or cooking. We even have garages attached to our houses to park our vehicles. And a lot of garages I see now don't even have room for a car because they're full of things, full of stuff, because we acquire. You know, Yahweh has to bring about a change in our lives. And how does he begin to do that? What has to happen for him to really get our attention and start real change within us? Because we are so comfortable, so complacent, and so used to having the things that provide our comfort, how does he go about getting us to pursue him? and to pursue His word and to pursue His way of life and to start to live by His Torah and do the things that He requires of His people. As long as we're happy and have everything that we need and we're satisfied, why would we look elsewhere? Now, how did change begin for the children of Israel? Let's turn to Exodus 3 and begin in verse 13. You know, Yah knew to call those people out of there. Even though they were enslaved by that system, He still knew they were comfortable where they were. And He had to take them out of that place to begin to deal with them. Exodus 3 and verse 13. And Moshe said to Elohim, "See, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The Elohim of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And Elohim said to Moshe, "I am that which I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" And Elohim said further to Moshe, "Thus you are to say to the children of Israel, 'Yahweh Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Avraham, the Elohim of Yitzhak, and the Elohim of Yaakov has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my remembrance to all generations. Go, and you shall gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, Yahweh Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Avraham, of Yitzhak, and of Yaakov, appeared to me, saying, I have indeed visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I say, I am bringing you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Kenani and the Chiti and the Amori and the Perizi and the Hivi and the Yebusi to a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall listen to your voice. And you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the sovereign of Egypt, and you shall say to him, Yahweh Elohim of the Hebrews has met with us. And now, please, let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness to slaughter to Yahweh, our Elohim." Yeah, the children of Israel had the things that life in Egypt had to offer. Even though they were enslaved and had to serve Pharaoh in hard bondage, still, they were inside of Egypt and inside of that system. And they enjoyed things that living in Egypt provided for them. You know, how many of them realized they were enslaved? Because they were comfortable with what they had. And they were complacent. And they got up every day and went off to their work. Did they really think about being enslaved by the way of life they were living? And how many of them really detested their way of life? And how many of them dreamed of escaping their situation? Where would they have gone? You know, they came there willingly 400 years prior. So where are they going to go? Egypt had become their home. So Yahweh knew he was going to have to root them out of there and show them that they were enslaved by freeing them and offering them a way of life. So he took them out into the wilderness so he could deal with them. He removed them from where they were because they were not going to look to him as long as they had their normal way of life and all of the things that they had come to expect. They had to be shocked out of their complacency. You know, human beings have an incredible capacity to adapt and accept their situation. And what keeps people enslaved and what keeps people in a routine of doing things even though they're not happy? Because they fear what is outside of that normal routine. They are scared to move from there. They're scared to leave the situation that they are comfortable with for the unknown. So the children of Israel got upset with Moshe when their standard of living and the things they had come to expect were changed. Moshe was bringing them freedom and a chance for a new life better than anything they had ever experienced before. But they could only see what was before them. And they were comfortable with that. Okay, let's go to Exodus 5 and verse 4. Exodus 5 and verse 4. But the sovereign of Egypt said to them, Moshe and Aharon, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your burdens. And Pharaoh said, see, the people of the land are many now, and you make them cease from their burdens. And the same day Pharaoh commanded the slave drivers of the people and their foremen, saying, you are no longer to give the people straw to make bricks as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves, and lay on them the required amount of bricks which they made before. Do not diminish it. For they are idle. That is why they cry out, saying, let us go and slaughter to our Elohim. Let more work be laid on the men so that they labor in it and not pay attention to words of falsehood. Of course, Pharaoh laid more on them. He did not want them to even dream of leaving the way of life they were caught up in. He wanted to keep all of their time filled up with distractions and with work and the pursuit of the things of this life so that they would not listen to Moshe or dream of the freedom that Yahweh was offering to them. Doesn't that sound a lot like people's lives in this physical world? They are kept busy in the pursuit of things and in the worries and cares of daily life and providing things for themselves. All right, verse 15 of Exodus chapter 5. And the foreman of the children of Israel came and cried out to Pharaoh, saying, "Why do you treat your servants this way? There is no straw given to your servants, and they say to us, 'Make bricks.' And see, your servants are beaten, but your own people are at fault." But he said, "You are idle. You are idle. That is why you say, 'Let us go and slaughter to Yahweh.' So now go, work. And straw is not given to you, but deliver the amount of bricks." And the foreman of the children of Israel saw that they were in trouble. After it was said, "You are not to diminish your daily amount of bricks." And when they came out from Pharaoh, they met Moshe and Aharon, who stood there to meet them. And they said to them, "Let Yahweh look on you and judge, because you have made us loathsome in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to give a sword in their hand to kill us." And Moshe returned to Yahweh and said, "Yahweh, why have you done evil to this people? Why did you send me? For ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all." You know, how complacent have we become? How caught up in the system are we? And how much do we cling to what we consider our normal lives? We don't like it when our lives are interrupted either, do we? We don't want someone to point out to us that we're slaves to our jobs, and slaves to the homes we own, and slaves to all the things we have. But we are. We live in a system that has us enslaved. But our Abba calls us to a life of change. But that frightens a lot of people, doesn't it? Because they are comfortable in their routines and the lives they lead. Even though they're enslaved, they know what to expect. And they don't want to trade what they know for the unknown. Many people are caught up in the system, and they are just as deeply rooted in it as the children of Israel were. Many who are believers are deeply snarled in this world and in its ways. And they cling to it, and they can't let go of it. You know, how many people right now are ready to follow Yahweh out into the wilderness? How many? Take what you can carry on your back, just like the children of Israel did, and walk away from everything and go out into the wilderness. How many people are ready to leave their comforts and their conveniences and the things they have come to expect and rely on every day? There are no grocery stores out in the wilderness. No running water. No vehicles. I hear so many people say all of the time how ready they are to walk away and leave everything behind. Did the children of Israel say that about Egypt? You know, did they stand around and in their conversation say, "You know, I am so ready to leave here"? When it came down to it, Yahweh had to make them a hated and despised thing to Pharaoh so that he would forcibly eject them from there. He made it so they had to leave. Let's take a look at Exodus 12 and verse 29. Exodus 12 and verse 29. And it came to be at midnight that Yahweh smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not a dead one. Then he called for Moshe and Aharon by night and said, "Arise, go out from the midst of my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go, serve Yahweh as you have said. Take both your flocks and your herds as you have said, and go. Then you shall bless me too." And the Egyptians urged the people to hasten to send them away out of the land, for they said, "We are all dying." How many of us are really ready to follow Yahweh out into the wilderness? What are we willing to give up? What are we willing to walk away from? It is so easy to say that you are ready to walk away and leave everything, but it is another thing entirely to do it. And I say we need a wilderness experience. We need to be shocked out of our lives of complacency. We need to be woken up. Because we are happy with the rewards the system gives us for our labor. We are comfortable. We are complacent. We trust and rely on the things the system provides for us. And worst of all, we give our allegiance and our loyalty to the system instead of to our Abba. How deeply embedded and ensnared and enslaved are we to the system we live in? There are no showers in the wilderness, no stoves to cook on, no air conditioning, no transportation, no medical services. But there is freedom. The question we have to ask ourselves is, what are you willing to give up? Let's take a look at James 4 and verse 2. James 4 and verse 2. You desire and do not have. You murder and are jealous and are unable to obtain. You strive and fight and you do not possess, because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask evilly in order to spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity, or against Elohim. Whoever therefore intends to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of Elohim. Or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? Does the spirit which dwells in us intensely crave unto envy? But he gives greater favor. Because of this, he says, Elohim resists the proud, but gives favor to the humble. So then subject yourselves to Elohim. Resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. Draw near to Elohim, and he shall draw near to you. Cleanse hands, sinners, and cleanse the hearts, you double-minded. You know, it is double-minded to say that you're ready and prepared and willing to walk away from everything when you know you're not. When you know you are clinging desperately to the things you have and to the system that provides them. You know, in the wilderness, you have to trust and rely on Yahweh for everything. But he has promised, hasn't he? You know, his people have his promises, and his promises never fail. But yet, we're afraid to take that first step and to truly trust in him, aren't we? And why is that? You know, deep down inside all of us, we are afraid that he won't keep his word, that he won't bear us up, that he won't provide for us, that he won't heal us. Because we have come to trust in things and in a system that provides for us instead of our Abba. And shouldn't we go to him first for everything? He's our provider, our healer, our protector, the one who loves us and has promised to care for us. But we have to step out of the boat to find out, don't we? Untested faith is not really faith at all. Because we can say anything that we want to say. But to put it to the test and put it into action is entirely something different. So you have to ask yourself, who rules in your life? Is it Paro and all of the things that he provides? Is it a system that takes care of you as long as you do what is expected and many times demanded of you? Or does Yahweh and the freedom he offers you rule in your life? Because it should. If we don't trust him now, what are we going to do when things really get bad? You know, his word tells us that a time is coming before the return of Mashiach, our Messiah. A time that's going to be very unpleasant on this world. And shouldn't we be putting our faith and trust in him now? Shouldn't we be looking to him now? So when that time comes, we're prepared and ready. That our faith and trust is where it should be? Let's take a look at Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 33. Ezekiel 20 and verse 33. As I live, declares the Master Yahweh, do not I, with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with wrath poured out, reign over you? And I shall bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the lands where you are scattered with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out. And I shall bring you into the wilderness of the peoples and shall enter into judgment with you face to face. There. As I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so I shall enter into judgment with you, declares the Master Yahweh. And I shall make you pass under the rod, and shall bring you into the bond of the covenant, and purge the rebels from among you, and those who transgress against me. From the land where they sojourn, I bring them out, but they shall not come into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am Yahweh. You know, part of the mystery of Sukkot is that it pictures a wilderness experience and a complete reliance on Yahweh for everything. And he tells us to take what he has given us and go up to celebrate before him when he has placed his name. You know, we're learning obedience and to trust in him. And that should be our normal way of life. You know, we go to some of the appointed times, and it's like we're outside of this world for a short time, and our whole thought process changes. But then we have to go back to our real lives in the world, and back to the normal routine, and back to jobs and obligations, back into the system. But that's not Abba's desire for his people. You know, we should hunger and thirst for that freedom that he gives us. And true freedom is to trust and rely on him for all things. You know, if you stop and think about it, all those things that you think you have to do, all those things that you think you are providing for yourself, he is ultimately the provider of all things, isn't he? And we think that he can't make provision for us or provide the things we need. Let's take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 23. Deuteronomy 14 and verse 23. And you shall eat before Yahweh your Elohim in the place where he chooses to make his name dwell, the tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil, and of the firstlings of your herds and your sheep, so that you learn to fear Yahweh your Elohim always. but when the way is too long for you, so that you are not able to bring the tithe, or when the place where Yahweh your Elohim chooses to put his name is too far from you. When Yahweh your Elohim is blessing you, then you shall give it in silver, and shall take the silver in your hand, and go to the place which Yahweh your Elohim chooses. And you shall use the silver for whatever your being desires, for cattle or sheep, for wine or strong drink, for whatever your being desires. And you shall eat there before Yahweh your Elohim, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. And do not forsake the Levi who is within your gates, for he has no part nor inheritance with you. It's an amazing time to go up and keep Sukkot and to think about what it pictures, the freedom and the reliance and the trust. And Yahweh says he will bless us so that we have what we need to keep his appointed times. But it goes back to faith and trust, doesn't it? No matter where we have gone up to keep Sukkot, I have always heard people say that they can't wait to get back home. And that always grieves me, because I have always felt exactly the opposite. I just want the adventure to continue. I never wanted to go back to the daily routine and the things that I knew were waiting back at home. I wanted to move forward. You know, to say that you can't wait to get back home, doesn't that sound just like the children of Israel when they grumbled and complained that they wanted to go back to Egypt? You know, they missed the things there, the food. You know, the children of Israel even complained about the manna that Yahweh gave to them. You know, he provided everything they needed, yet they wanted to go back and have those physical things again. And they knew it meant to enslave themselves again. But they were so attached to that life, they wanted to go back. You know, do we prefer the comfort and convenience of what Paro provides instead of what Yahweh is giving us and calling us out into the wilderness? You know, we all have more idols in our lives than we are willing to admit. And we put conditions on Yahweh when he tells us to come out of Egypt. Well, if I can just have this, or if I can just have that, or, you know, I really want to do that, but, you know, this has to happen first. And we can't bargain with our Abba that way. When he calls us to come out, we have to leave this world behind and go out to where he is. We have to seek him and pursue him. You know, all of the things that we cling to just take up our time and our energy and our efforts. And we are enslaved. But we don't stop and think about it that way. And I'm sure the children of Israel didn't think about it that way either. It was just the normal daily routine for them. If we are not willing to walk away from everything, then how can we say that we are ready? How can we say we're prepared to step into that life that He has prepared for us, the life that He desires for us to live? Because in order to really live that life and have the freedom that our Abba wants us to have, then it means complete trust and reliance on Him. So what you really have to ask yourself is, are you ready for the wilderness experience?
Yivarekika Yahweh, Vayishmareka, Yaer Yahweh Panavileka, Vihuneka, Yisa Yahweh Panavileka, Vyashem Laha Shalom. Yahweh bless you and protect you. Yahweh make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh turn back His face towards you and give you shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
You have been listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by HaEmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teaching, resources, and information about HaEmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. May our Abba bless you richly throughout this coming week and guide you into His truth. Shavua Tov.